Hey, greetings. This is Brother Jim, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I want to bring you a refuting of a sermon done by David Keeling, Church of Monette. We went out and held gospel signs at the end of his driveway, and you can read all about that on this article where you're listening to this audio. We'll have a link. You can go see videos of our time there. One man called us an idiot. Another lady came out, was contending with me. You'll see David walk across his yard and just hide. He hid behind his texts. Didn't even come out and talk. Pretty shameful. But for this audio, I want to cover when he went inside the building, he actually talked about the text communication him and I had. And he said some troubling things that really show why we were there, why we were calling them out as false, and why they need to be exposed, having a incomplete gospel and very, very poor fruit. And so let me go and line by line as he does this audio, or he does this sermon, I'll do an audio on it and we'll cover it, to dissect this rightly, rightly divided in the Word of God, so you're not deceived, so that our neighbors are not deceived by false teachers like David Keeling. Let's get to it.
Had a little bit of excitement this morning, or something this morning. Last night I got a text from a man and asked about the way of salvation, what we taught is the way of salvation.
Yeah, so let's stop right there. So he's talking about me. He said there was some excitement. Yeah, we were out holding gospel signs at the end of their driveway. So he said he got a text from me, and that was true. I asked him what he preaches and what is the path to salvation. In a minute, you'll hear him say plan of salvation. It's not what I said. Path of salvation. And because it's not on their website, you can't find it anywhere. Isn't it interesting? Jesus says, go preach the gospel, and many of these kingdom places, Anabaptist places, don't even have the gospel anywhere on their website. But you'll listen to him here, and where he says, you can't put it in a box. And this is all very telling, and it's going to come to a very telling point in his sermon that I really want to focus on. So it's the whole reason why I exposed him as a false teacher. So let's keep listening.
Salvation, and to believe in what he said is evidence of believing in Jesus. And
all right, so his basic premise is you just believe in Jesus, and you'll hear him later talk about something more. He'll mention Christ going to the cross. But this is the real crux of the problem here. These kingdom Christians, Anabaptists, they focus on the Sermon on the Mount. They focus on just following after Jesus. And they don't teach what the rest of God's Word says. And we're going to get into that. Who Jesus called to preach the complete gospel. How we enter into the kingdom of God. How we're saved. That's what we're going to get to. You'll see what he believes. David Keeling, false teacher, I'll show you exactly what God's Word says. And that's what this is all about. So we'll keep listening.
And he said, well, can you explain that a little more, or tell your plan of salvation? How come the plan of salvation is not on the website? And I said, well, it's because you can't put it in a box.
Okay, again, so he says plan of salvation. I never said that. I said, how would you tell a man what is the path to eternal life? And you heard him say, you can't put it in a box. He told me in text that it's different for everybody. And see, I contest that. It absolutely is not different for everybody. And let me set the table here by telling you what I believe is the biblical gospel, per God's word, is we must believe and place our faith in Jesus Christ, his shed blood, his resurrection. Absolutely, that's where we start, belief and faith in Jesus. But then the Bible says so much more. It says we must repent. We must change our minds, and then our actions change. So we must believe, we must repent. Jesus said it himself, repent lest you perish, Luke 13:3. Then the Bible says you must be born from above, John 3. Jesus taught that himself. You'll hear him basically try to slander being born again, or at least downplay it. So you must have faith, you must repent, you must be born again. Then Jesus says, you are my friend if you keep my commandments. Hebrews 5:9 says, he made the way of eternal life for those who obey him. Holiness and obedience is the fruit that you have placed your faith, repented, and been born again by God's Spirit. You enter a covenant with God. His Spirit comes to indwell in you, and you end up in a blood covenant with God because of what Christ has done. Holiness and obedience are the fruit of that at work in you, not going and playing churchianity like David Keeling does. And then you must endure in the faith. Now that's the biblical gospel that God's word proclaims in its completeness. You're going to hear, he does not believe that. He does not preach that. You just heard him. Just believe in Jesus. And this is the biggest problem I have with them, besides they quote the Apocrypha, they don't teach biblical dress for men, they have feminist women, they're hypocrites, they say that you should love everybody. They clearly didn't love us. If we were brothers and sisters there that day, they didn't love us. If we were enemies, they didn't love us. So they're very hypocritical, but it all comes from, I don't believe they truly are born from above. I think they're born into this churchianity system of David Keeling, so common among the Kingdom Anabaptists, spiritual dead people. Let's keep going.
It's nothing that just can go through steps and you're saved. It's people hear the word and they believe. And I gave the example of the rich young ruler.
All right, let's stop right there. So there's nothing steps that you can go through. That's absolutely not true, because the Bible teaches what steps we take to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus gave us all kinds of parables. Paul teaches all through the epistles the steps that we must take. I just preached it to you. You must have each one of those steps active in your life, or you're not going to enter the kingdom of God because of what Christ has done. David Keeling is a false teacher teaching an incomplete false gospel. In Galatians 1, Paul says that makes you accursed. We'll keep listening. Okay, next, David talks about the example of the rich young ruler. Listen in.
The rich young ruler, he was asked to sell everything he had to follow Jesus, and he went away sorrowful. He didn't ask him whether he believed that he rose, was going to rise, and was dead, or when he was from the dead, and didn't talk about the blood. He just said, sell what you have and follow me. And it was just that simple, and for that man, that was...
Okay, let's stop right there. So Jesus is talking to the rich young ruler. God is standing right in front of the rich young ruler. Jesus has not shed his blood, gone to the cross, and resurrected yet. Why would he preach that to that man? That's absolutely foolish, okay? We're supposed to follow God's word in a progressive revelation. Christ had not gone to the cross yet. Today we're living in after a time when he did and he resurrected. We'll see what Paul preached. We're going to get to that. Jesus knew exactly what that rich young ruler loved, because God can look right in your heart. And that's why Jesus preached to him that way, because you and I and David Keeling can't do what Jesus can do, see the thoughts and heart of a man and go right for that. We have to preach all types of things and hope through the Holy Spirit that that man's convicted, because we don't know his heart. We don't know his mind. Jesus went right for what that man loved. So that's a terrible example. Christ had not risen yet and shed his blood. Why would Jesus be preaching that to him? This shows the flaw in David Keeling's gospel. He's stuck in the Sermon on the Mount. He did not follow through to the rest of what Christ did. We're going to prove that. Let's keep going.
That was what it required for him at that time, to follow Jesus, and he chose not to do it. Whenever God puts his claim on your life, and everything in the Bible, every instance in the Bible that God talks about faith, it's God asking or putting a claim on your life and giving you the opportunity to either believe him or to walk away sorrowful, just like...
Yep, and I would agree with that, but here's the problem. It's not just believing, okay? We have to come by faith, we have to repent. We need God's Spirit in us. Jesus said, without the Spirit, we won't see the kingdom of God. Paul, Peter, and John all talked about being born from God, born from above, born by the Spirit, new creation. David Keeling makes fun of that later in this video, the sermon, which shows that they don't value that new life. They're stuck in just following the Sermon on the Mount. And he says something telling about Jesus' words versus Paul's words that's common with these false, corrupt Anabaptists. We'll keep going. All right, again, he gives the same example here about Jesus. Listen in.
Jesus actually dealing with someone seeking salvation. He didn't say, well, go to the Romans Road and believe these four verses and ask Jesus into your heart and you'll be saved. There's nothing in the Bible that supports that for the way of salvation.
Okay, so right there, he's, again, talking about Jesus dealing with these people, but again, Jesus is living in a time before he went to the cross, shed his blood, and resurrected. He was laying the groundwork for his life, showing us what the kingdom of God would look like, and getting ready for the Lamb of God to go and make the sacrifice. Then an interesting thing happens that David Keeling just basically ignores. He wouldn't say ignores it, but he does in his theology, and we're going to get to that. And it has something to do with Apostle Paul, the mystery, and what should be preached for the biblical gospel. Let's keep going.
There's nothing in the Bible that says, no one says, believe that Jesus died and rose again, and you'll be saved.
Okay, I hope you caught that. There's nothing in the Bible that says if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, that you will be saved. He says the Bible doesn't say that. Folks, let me take you to a scripture verse. David Keeling is either a liar or he doesn't know the Word of God. I don't know. You decide. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and whereby ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Did you catch that, folks? Yeah. If you keep in memory what I've preached to you, lest you've believed in vain. Now remember, David said, nowhere does it say that you'll be saved if you believe in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. What does Paul say? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Folks, I just showed you David Keeling is a liar or a deceiver. You decide. The Word of God clearly teaches, since Christ shed his blood, went to the cross, rose again, that our faith and salvation is directly tied to that. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we may become the righteousness of God. It's the whole point of Christ coming, showing us God's kingdom, being the perfect lamb, laying down his life as a sacrifice, then us through faith and repentance, being born from above, following after him, we take part in that righteousness. But you just heard David Keeling, liar or deceiver, you decide, say, nowhere in the Bible does it say that. What heresy, what foolishness. But let's keep going. All right, so let's go back to David Keeling.
Not one iota of that in the Bible. But we do have what Jesus taught.
So not one iota of that in the Bible. I just showed you where Apostle Paul said that's how we're saved, by his death, burial, and resurrection. How about Romans 14:9? For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. I could go on and give you scripture verses that tie our salvation to Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood. I don't know what Bible David Keating's reading. Again, he's either a liar or a deceiver. You decide. But we're going to keep going because I want to warn my neighbor about this false teacher.
And asked if people were welcome. I said, yes, of course. What about the Lord's Supper? Or said, you meet on Sundays. You call that the Lord's Day? And I said, yes.
Okay, so he's talking about me there when we're texting, and that's actually a lie. I did not call Sunday the Lord's Day. I asked them when they meet, what they do. I asked him if he calls Sunday the Lord's Day, and he said yes. That's another one of their heresies, along with Jesus. They practice Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday. That's a whole nother topic. I have articles on that at our teaching blog. Jesus did not resurrect on Sunday. He resurrected on Saturday, so they keep a whole evangelical Roman Catholic false Resurrection Sunday schedule. But again, he lies. I didn't call it the Lord's Day. I don't believe Sunday's the Lord's Day. He teaches it's the Lord's Day. Let's keep going.
And then he said, what about the Lord's Supper? I said, yes, we take communion. He said, well, what does it mean, the Lord's Supper? And I said, well, Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body. Take the blood, just like he said. And I said, we don't believe there's anything. We pray over it, makes it some magical thing, but that's what Jesus said.
Okay, so I was testing him via texting, and I even told him I was testing his theology when I text him. And on the testing of him, the text says, he said, praise the Lord. So he obviously thinks it's good to test people. This is a man that used to go out, I don't know if he still does, hold gospel signs at colleges, call people out of the world, call evangelicals and Mennonites and other people out of their false religion. So he got upset then later when he found out I was testing him to show up and hold gospel signs to expose him. Isn't that interesting? You're supposed to test everybody but David Keeling. I think that's partiality. 1 Timothy 5 says that's sinful. And that's what he was upset about, that I was testing him, asking questions about his theology. The Bible says to do that. That's how we rightly discern not only spirits, but doctrine. If we would unite to someone, why would I go and sit and sing and pray with people that I could not be united to? The Bible says not to do that. So let's keep listening.
Anyway, then this morning we had the people out front. I didn't even read their signs, didn't talk to them, but I saw them standing out there. So I thought, it just kind of dawned on me, oh, that's what all that was about last night. It wasn't anyone seriously inquiring in a truthful way about salvation.
See, that's not true. I was seriously inquiring and I was testing him. And yeah, he stood on his porch on his house and saw us. He stood inside his house. Later, he walked across the grass about 500 yards to go over to the church building. And I preached to him as he was going, calling him to come and talk while one of his women was contending with me, a feminist woman contending with me. And it was absolutely a serious questioning about truth. There was no trickery involved. If you're a teacher and someone asks you, what is the path to eternal life? If you think that's a trick question, you need to sell your pulpit, David Keeling. He stands behind a little pulpit. And you need to sell your building and get out of your teaching. Because if you can't handle that, you don't have the truth or you don't have the right spirit to teach. Titus 1 says, an elder teacher is supposed to be able to teach with sound doctrine and convince the naysayers. He didn't try to teach me anything. He just knew I was testing him. And when I saw he had false doctrine, that's when he got all upset. Hey, this is part one. We're going to go on part two. Stay tuned.